You're tuned into the audio channel from scorenotes.com. Enjoy the show.
So, very good evening to you, Sir Richard. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, Tom. Good to speak to you. Doing very well, thank you.
Great. Glad to hear it. And like to discuss your recent score, Bond 007 Bloodstone.
Sure.
And recently you've been given word that there are some award nominations that went along with your good work for the music. So can you just tell us about some of the awards that you're nominated for with this?
Yeah, certainly. It's been a pretty crazy couple of weeks. The score to Bloodstone's been nominated for three categories in the Gang Awards, the Game Audio Network Guild Awards. The categories for that are Best Interactive Score, Best Original Instrumental for one of the cues, and Music of the Year, which is a fantastic honour. And then just recently, a couple of days ago, the IFMCA, which is the International Film Music Critics Awards, have nominated Bloodstone in their Game Soundtrack category. So it's amazing to get that recognition from some of my esteemed colleagues, and it's really exciting. I'm just really glad that people have enjoyed the score.
Yeah, and with the field of composing comes a lot of long hours, a lot of dedication. So, when you get this type of recognition, does that kind of just make you feel good at the end of the day for a job well done?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, you're right that any composer does put in some pretty serious hours, and I mean, certainly during the composition process of Bloodstone, it was it was 20 hours a day, 7 days a week for a fair amount of time. It's just good that the fans and my colleagues and counterparts in the industry sort of can tell that there was a lot of work that went into that. So yeah, it's nice to have that recognition and that people believe in the score, and the hours certainly make it worthwhile.
Yeah, and how does one stay creative when working 20 hours a day? Because those are some pretty long days.
Yeah, they certainly are. I mean, I've been doing it a long time now, maybe 16, 17 years, something like that. And as a composer or any creative person, you learn when you're at your best and when, you're maybe not so creative. So for me personally, if I'm composing a new cue or trying to get inspired or creative, my key hours are from like 6 or 7 in the morning until about 3 in the afternoon. And then after that time, I would often do orchestration or some of the production work or some of the mixing involved and things like that. So I know that I'm best creatively, I suppose you could say, in the morning hours, although I don't consider myself a morning person, but that's when I write my best stuff. So, you learn these things and you just go with it, and that's how I tend to structure my days.
And I would have to say, we as video game players, I think we're getting pretty spoiled with the music we're getting with these games, because, like Bloodstone, these are just some flat-out amazing scores that really rival a lot of what we hear in the theater. And can you just talk about what it's like to be on the front line of that cutting-edge movement, which is game music of today?
Sure. Well, yeah, I mean, it's so interesting seeing how the video game industry has matured and has become so popular, and, creative boundaries are being pushed all the time. You know, these changes have happened really in the last kind of 6-7 years, really. I mean, the first big orchestral score that I did was back in 2001 now. That was for the Headhunter score, which we recorded at Abbey Road, and that was the first video game soundtrack ever to be recorded at Abbey Road Studios here in London. But I've always known the kind of techniques that are implied, and I just thought, well, why isn't this happening in video games? It's a no-brainer for me. You write a great score, you have it well orchestrated, you produce it well, you get the right players in and the right studios and the right professionals in their own crafts, engineers and mastering engineers, etc. So it's really, really encouraging to see the amount of talent in the video game industry. I mean, a lot of my friends and fellow composers, I mean, there's some incredible talent out there, and just, listening to last year's body of work alone, it's easily as good as, you know, A-list movies now, and I think that's encouraging for both sides of the coin, for both film and the games industry, because there is so much crossover happening, and there's video game composers doing movies and movie composers doing games, and it's just all about the quality and, you know, whether the composers are doing a good job and high quality and good production values, etc. So it's just a fantastic time to be working in games right now.
Part of the feedback that I picked up on Bloodstone is that a lot of folks were going out of their way to say, look, this is music that's as if it's from the James Bond film franchise. And what do you think when you hear those kind of remarks?
It's very humbling. It's certainly an honor to be, you know, put in the same category as the likes of, you know, the amazing late great John Barry and David Arnold and other composers that have contributed to the franchise. We're a franchise like James Bond. There's a lot of territory that comes with that. I mean, of course, it's one of the most successful film franchises in history. It has a music style pretty much of its own right that has been created by the composer that's contributed to the series. And of course, I take that incredibly seriously and want to sort of pay homage and honour to the composers that have come before me, but also have my own musical voice and my own creative slant on the franchise and the score. But, as you said, there's been a lot of praise saying this, oh, surely this is from a film, or this could be from the next movie or whatever, and that is really encouraging, just hoping, you know, that I've done a good job, and that the Bond fans and the music fans and game fans alike will like it as a piece of work, and that it's fitting for the franchise.
And you mentioned the musical history of this franchise, and was it a bit daunting at all when you entered into the scoring duties for this franchise with the video game?
I think to a certain degree. I mean, any composer will know when they're working on an existing IP that's so successful and that's known throughout the world. It's, you know, there is a certain degree of gravitas that comes with that. For myself, I mean, I'm, you know, like most people, I'm a huge Bond fan. I grew up with the franchise. I know the franchise very well. I know the character very well. I know what each of the lead actors has brought to the role and how the role has evolved and changed over time. And you know, musically as well, what, you know, John Barry and other people did back in the day when the franchise was starting out, and how it's evolved over time, and, you know, people like David Arnold coming on board, and other scores from Michael Kamen and Eric Serra and others. There's been a lot of development, and you know, it's been a quite evolving sound over the years. And yeah, I mean, of course it's daunting, but it's also a wonderful opportunity, and it really makes a composer, I think, you know, pull out all the stops and really do their best work. And I hopefully, you know, risen to the challenge with that, and I certainly gave it my all throughout the project.
Now, can you tell us about some of the themes that you introduced into this story arc with the game score? Because there's quite a few lovely themes at work within the score.
Sure. Well, there's two primary themes. There's what became known as the Bloodstone theme, which was the first theme I wrote, which needed to be a signature for the whole game. It needed to signify the character of Bond within the story of Bloodstone and all of the settings and gameplay elements that the character travels through. The main theme to Bloodstone was not only inspired by Daniel Craig's character as Bond, but also the lead female interest, which is played by Joss Stone, who plays a wonderfully enigmatic character and very interesting. I won't give any plot details away in case your listeners haven't played the game, but that was quite inspiring when I was creating the themes to work with, and I wanted to create some themes that were, you know, that could span across the whole score, because we've got nearly 2 hours and 30 minutes of music, so it's a big soundtrack, probably more than you'd get in a movie. But then, of course, there's some sub-themes for some of the enemy protagonist characters as well, but I still wanted to keep it very, very much Bond and very much in that vein and in that style. So, you know, on any big soundtrack, when you're dealing with thematic content, I try not to overcrowd it with loads and loads of different themes. But I think, you know, if you stick to about three or four main ones and then highlight, you know, the main theme itself, then that provides a good balance and enough material to work with.
And with James Bond comes the various locations and cities that the agent travels to. And what was it like just to be able to access that musically, the different locations of the game itself?
Well, it was a fantastic opportunity because the story for Bloodstained is written by Bruce Feirstein, who has worked on some of the Bond movies himself. And as soon as I read even an early draft of the script, you know, being a Bond fan and being a fan of action movies myself, seeing our hero, if you like, travel through such exotic locations such as Bangkok and Istanbul and Monaco and Siberia and all these places, it gives a very rich musical tapestry for you know, how we can actually set the character and the game and tie the score into those locations. So I was quite keen to actually use some sort of ethnic and world music influences to weave into the score when Bond is in those specific locations. And that was mainly achieved by certain instrumentation. You know, I hired various musicians that were specialists in either ethnic percussion or ethnic strings instruments. So, for example, in one of the earlier levels in the game, you travel to Istanbul and we use the Turkish saz and we use santur and lots of other instruments from that kind of region. And it just gives it that flavour and that kind of setting where the character is kind of firmly rooted in that territory, but it's still very much Bond.
Yes, certainly being able to access that, you know, in a score must be just a great opportunity for a composer, because a lot of times when you're working in film or television, it's kind of one track, you're kind of locked into one note. But the world of games is really opening that up, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, in the games in general, there's a fair amount of creative freedom, which is not necessarily the case in film or TV. It depends on the project, of course. But I think if you have a good relationship with the people developing the game, and certainly in this case, I have a great relationship with Bizarre Creations, the developer, and with Activision, the publisher. And we all knew that it had to be very much the Bond sound. But apart from that, I was given pretty much carte blanche creative freedom to actually work on the themes and the location settings. And of course, there's a lot of action set pieces in the game. You know, it's predominantly an action game, but there's a lot of stealth sequences as well. There's a lot of cinematic sections, which yeah, predominantly narrative. And that allowed me enough creative freedom to put my own take on the franchise and hopefully deliver a score that was so closely tied into the game and so appropriate for this story, because it is a, you know, completely new original story in its own right.
Yeah, with this is really an epic output of both quality and time spent in developing this. And how do you recharge after that to get ready for the next gig?
That's a very good question. Well, I immediately went straight on to another gig as soon as Bond wrapped. But I did manage to take, I think, my first holiday in 7 years, which I managed to get about 9 days off work just recently in the new year. It was certainly a big gig, there's no doubt about that, and I wanted to make sure, you know, there's so many people to please, and I wanted to stay true to the fans and true to the franchise, and, you know, it's such a great story that Bruce Fifthin wrote that I really wanted to deliver the goods on that. And so, yeah, I mean, after a fairly long and, you know, a lot of long hours during the development time, I was certainly pleased with the results. And, you know, it's like anything, as soon as it's actually out there in the big wide world, shall we say, you just hope that people will enjoy it, that it does its job, that the music serves its function within the game itself. So I, you know, took a week out, but then it was back to the next scoring assignment.
So I guess your next vacation is probably due up in 2018. It sounds like.
Yeah, something like that. I'll let you know.
And I just want to say that you've contributed your own voice to a very storied franchise, and it's a quality output that has connected with a lot of fans. So I just want to congratulate you, number one, and number two, wish you luck on the well-deserved award nominations that you've received.
Thank you very much. That's really good to hear, and I hope I've done the fans proud, and I'm glad that so many people are enjoying the score.
Indeed, and we certainly look forward to catching up with you again in the near future, Richard. Thank you so much.
I'll definitely let you know my next score, and we can definitely chat again in the future, and thanks very much for your time.